Thank you, Graham.
Well, good morning and Happy New Year to you all. It's become kind of quite a tradition that the first Sunday of January is Vision Sunday. And I do want to make a request of you. Please come tonight. I know some of you think, oh, tonight's for different people. No, tonight is for you. So you're quite welcome, if your mums and dads, to go home and start a little fight before lunch about who's going to be here tonight, because this message is in two parts, and the second part is this evening. I'm not asking you to come tonight just so Pastor Gardner gets you to church, but because we, together, are walking in God, and tonight is about us together walking in God. So please go home, have that little discussion in your heart, in your mind, and think, oh no, I'm going to miss Downton Abbey. It's not on anyway till next September, okay? And we're usually home in time for Downton Abbey anyway. Skip songs of praise, whatever you do on a Sunday evening, just once, please come tonight. It's part of who we are together. I don't know if you've ever seen one of these pictures before or not, and if you could tell me what they are or what it is. Some of you say, oh, it's jelly beans. It's one of those obvious things. But I'm told reliably that this is a 3D picture. You've got to know, I've looked at it for ages, and all I can see is baked beans. All I can see is jelly beans. But I'm told that if you look closely, please don't, you'll get blurry-eyed and you'll go a little bit dizzy. You're supposed to be about 3 inches from the screen when you do it. But the thing is about these 3D pictures is you see something, you see a pattern or something, but then you have to look and look and look, and slowly your eyesight and your mind adjusts so you see beyond the jelly beans to the real picture. Thanks, Linda. What we're going to do today is look at two simple subjects, and these, if you will, are the subjects for the year. As we move into a new sermon series in this early part of the year, we'll be looking at serving. But the two core themes for this year are share and serve. So this morning we're looking at share. I look at this passage here, and then also kind of try and marry what Vision Sunday's got to be about. And I always go through this kind of battle or this struggle, because when you look at vision in the business world or the secular world, vision's always about how great we're going to be. And what are we going to achieve this year? And what goals do our vision lead us to set? Those are the kind of corporate questions that big businesses ask. And it's a mistake to take that kind of thinking and transfer it and lay it directly onto church. The reason being is this, and it's simple. Because vision is never about us. It's never about how great we can be as a church. It's never about how big we can be as a church. It's never about what do we think we can be and what we can achieve as a church. Honestly, it's never those things. And you've got to know, vision is always about who He is, who our God is, and how big our picture is of Him, and how great our understanding is of our Lord and our Saviour. And if you get a hold of that, then you begin to see what He wants for us, and maybe He wants from us. And if all we do today is get just a little bit of a snapshot of that, then good. So where does that begin? I think there's an amazing picture of God when we look at this passage that Graham shared with us and read for us from Matthew 19. You read a very similar account in Luke chapter 10 when Jesus sends out the 72. But he talks about a harvest field. And in chapter 19, there's that famous call from Jesus when he says that God's heart is for harvest, that the fields are ripe for harvest, but the workers are few. So pray the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into the harvest. God's heart is for his harvest. And when you look at this little short passage in Matthew 9, you just get an amazing, amazingly deep picture of the heart of God for people. Jesus, it says, looked out on the crowds. By this time, you've been reading the Gospels, you've got to Matthew chapter 9, and you know that people follow Jesus. They come after him. Now, you look at that picture of a crowd there, and what do you see? Some of you might see jelly beans, because you're still confused about that very first picture, all right? They look a bit like jelly beans, you know, different colours, different, you know. And I look out here this morning, thank goodness I've not got my glasses on, because if I did, you'd all look like jelly beans as well. But what do you see? When you look out on the crowd, what do you see? Or better still, who do you see? Just a bunch of normal people gathered together in a crowd. Some tall, some short, some slim, some wider, some happy. Look a bit closer, and you might begin to see what Jesus sees. Because as Jesus looks at the crowd, he doesn't see 5, 6, 7,000 people. It says he had compassion on them. That is an amazing word. It's a word I love telling you about. I've been telling you about for ages. In the King James Version of the Bible, and some of you, immediately when you hear that, you go, the right one. In the King James Version of the Bible, it actually says that when he saw the crowd, he had bowels of mercy. What is bowels of mercy? It's because the Greek word there is the word we get our word spleen from. Now, I'm not a doctor, but I know spleen is somewhere south of my rib cage. Okay? About right, Patrick. Yeah, Patrick's nodding furiously. What does he know? He's just a gynecologist. About there. No, that side. It's that side, right, okay. So his spleen, it's down there, right? So, but what it's saying is that Jesus, when he looked at the crowd, he didn't just see jelly beans. He didn't just see an amorphous mass of people. He looked in to the crowd. And he saw people with pain. And he saw people with hurt. He saw heartbreak. And loneliness and tears. And it said that he had compassion on them. And the reason it says bowels of mercy in the King James is because the compassion, the depth of feeling he had, it wasn't from here. Put a wobble in his voice box. It wasn't from here. It was from the very depth of his being as the Son of God. Read Psalm 103 and it says, as a father has compassion on his children, so God has compassion on people who worship him. Same word. This depth of feeling. Jesus looks out on the crowd and his heart and the depths of his soul, the depths of his being goes out towards them. Why? Why? Because it then says this, that they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Sometimes when you're preparing sermons, you get kind of really digging deep and you end up kind of getting all your Greek stuff out, and I enjoy doing that. And because you get on a trail, a bit like a detective, you know, with a spyglass, and you get on this trail. And I was looking up these words, harassed and helpless. And I've changed them this morning because these are equally good. The idea of being harassed was for something to have been flayed. Now, if it's been flayed, it's been beaten with rods or beaten with a whip, so that it's been stripped of flesh and it's left broken and bleeding. And that word harassed could equally be used as the word flayed. Fallen, the idea of being helpless, is that so helpless that you can't stand up anymore. that whatever's hit you in life has left you reeling so badly that your inner strength has gone and you haven't got that ability to stand up anymore. When Jesus looked with compassion on the crowd, when the Father heart of God looks out and doesn't see jelly beans, doesn't see this mass of blobbed faces, he sees hearts and lives that are broken. The reason he has such compassion is because he sees they're harassed and helpless. They're flayed and they're fallen. Maybe even this morning, you've come in and you don't feel like a new year. You don't feel like, whoa, great, 2014, let me at it. You feel like dread. You feel like, oh, hell. Help. Because this year doesn't promise anything great for you. Maybe you're already facing a powerful illness. Maybe already you're dreading tomorrow because tomorrow means you go back to work and you hate work. All it does is put money on the table so you can buy bread and food, but it has no other satisfaction than that because it's just pressure, harassed, helpless. Maybe as Graham shared, as he encouraged people to come to celebrate recovery, there's things from your past that still leave you flayed and fallen. And you get home from church, you enjoyed the good sing and it was good to be with people, but you get home and that brokenness of your heart is still there. Somebody did something to you so long ago, but the shadows of that pain still cast themselves over your soul. And Jesus looks out. And you've got to know this morning, the Father heart of God through his Son is for you. He looks out and he has compassion on you. Because he loves you so much, he's moved to do something for you. He sees how flayed and how fallen, how harassed and helpless you are. You might think, well, I'm just sat in the crowd this morning. You never sat in a crowd for Jesus. You never stood in a crowd for Jesus. He loves you so much, he can pick you out. He can spot you in the crowd. And he sees the grief. He sees the heartbreak and the hurt. He sees what you're going through. And his compassion goes out to you. So maybe instead of being one of the crowd, maybe one of the sheep, maybe you identify with this. You're the one whose heart cry of pathos and pity and helplessness and hopelessness. Maybe that's what you feel like in the middle of the crowd. And Jesus' heart is towards you. Please, if you have any vision at all for 2014, have a vision for a God who cares. Have a vision for a God who loves you so much that he doesn't allow you to just be there in the crowd. He wants to pick you out. He wants to find you. Another picture Jesus has for a crowd is when he told stories that Luke recorded, and we call it Luke chapter 15 now, but he told about a crowd of sheep. And the shepherd counted the 99 sheep and thought, no, there isn't 99, there's 100. There's one missing. In the middle of the crowd, the shepherd knew there was one missing. And so he leaves the crowd. And he goes out looking for the one missing. And when he finds it, he puts it on his shoulders. The compassion of the shepherd is moved out to go looking for that lost, bleating, broken sheep. He puts it on his shoulders and he carries it tenderly, lovingly, and joyfully home. And he's so overjoyed that he has a party. He calls his friends and says, "Rejoice! I found my sheep that was lost." And then he says this, "There is much rejoicing in heaven over someone who's a sinner, somebody who's harassed, somebody who's helpless, somebody who's broken, somebody who's fallen, somebody who's hurt, somebody whose life has been maimed, somebody who feels lost in the crowd, there is much rejoicing when they're found. Please know, that's for you. This morning, this year, that's for you. And if you have no other vision of God, get that vision. That the Father's heart is for you. Then he goes on. Because he then looks at his disciples. And he says to the people who are already following him, in the light of his compassion, in the light of who he sees in the crowd and the needs in the crowd, he then says to them, the harvest is great. The harvest is great. So I'm asking you, first of all, I'm asking you, will you pray? Ask the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into the harvest. Why? Because people are only going to get found in the crowd if you go out looking for them. And so this simple prayer that we begin this year is, Lord, help me. Lord, send me. Lord, cause me to have the same kind of compassion that you've got that will move me out into the harvest field. The first thing he says he does is pray. Ask the Lord of the harvest to send out workers. And then if you move on from chapter 9 into chapter 10, you find that in Matthew's Gospels, it's the account of Jesus picking the 12 disciples. And the first thing he does is send them. Pray that the Father will send out workers into the harvest. 12 disciples, go. Luke chapter 10. The 12 disciples have already been in Luke chapter 10. They went in chapter 9. But in chapter 10 he sends out 72, a bigger crowd. He sends them out in twos, so they go together. That's fantastic. Because that's what we do. As a church, we're going to go together. He's going to send us out in twos or threes. But it's together. But as he sends them out, he says, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into the harvest. So pray. And then he says to these 72, right, get into twos and go. Go to every town and village that I'm going to go to as well. You go and prepare the way. You go and tell them that I'm coming. You go and tell them about me and I will be there. So they get to know me. Pray and go. Pray and share. And one of the core things that we believe God has called us to do, and it's coming out of last year, is break out beyond our walls so that we will share good news about this compassionate God with other people. That's scary. I don't know about you, but whenever somebody tells me I've got to share the good news, I think, I'm not very good at that. I mean, in certain situations, I know I am. If somebody comes and says to me, how come you're a minister then? I mean, they get 30 years, both barrels, in 30 seconds. Okay? I could do that. If somebody gives me permission, then I'm more than happy to tell them how God transformed my life way back in 1977. Where I wept my way to him and he filled me with his love and changed my life completely. I love telling people that story. But we're going to go together. But make no bones about it. It's not about us being great as a church. It's not about us trying to get bigger or better as a church. It's got to come out of this compassionate heart of God for people. That's why we go. So what we're going to do, or what we're going to try, we spent ages praying and thinking through this year, and here are just three things. If you've been noticing this morning, you'll have seen three fantastic posters that Nick has done, kind of the last throw of his intern dice as the year came to a close. Nick was working like mad and we were off to the printers and getting these. There's three fantastic posters out in the foyer that are going to be up there all year just to keep reminding us of what we believe God has called us to do. The first thing we believe is strongly that we are called to minister in the city centre. Now, we already are doing. There are already things that some of us here are committed to doing, and they're up there on the page. And maybe you're already involved in Street Pastors or Cedar House or MAP or Youth for Christ. Maybe you're not, but you're bent. What God's putting in your heart, the compassion God is going to give you or is already giving you, is for something in the city of Preston. Something that breaks us out beyond our walls and gets us moving into the city. One of the things we want to do in early spring is just have a city centre lunch. That's every single person who's involved in ministering in our city. I'm going to invite them to lunch, but anybody who senses God's heart is moving them out beyond Fulwood to get involved in city centre ministry. And it'd be lovely if God gives us something special, something new maybe that we begin, and that's part of our heart is to start new ministries, but only when we know God the Holy Spirit is calling us to do that. Please, it's got to come out of God putting his compassion in you. Another area we're going to look at is our own community here, Fulwood. For the last 5 or 6 years, twice a year, we've been delivering heart to 5,500 homes. And we're going to start an amazing project called Heart to Heart. And we're simply going to begin asking people in the Fulwood community that we deliver heart to, asking them what they believe God's people can do to serve them in this area. So we're taking interest in the needs of our community. Well, we're nice middle-class Fulwood and we're all white-collar workers and we don't need anything. And that's why we do Celebrate Recovery. And that's why we do parenting classes. And that's why this year one of our ladies is going to get trained in ministering to people who've been through the brokenness and the heartbreak of divorce. Because we're nice middle-class people who are white-collar workers living safely in our own homes, and we do need the compassion of Christians who care enough to maybe knock and ask and say, we're not here to push the good news of God down your throat sideways. We're here just to simply ask you, is there any way in which you believe we can help? Any way we can serve? It might take us 3, 4, 5 years to do this, but we're going to start this year. Because God cares every bit as much about Fulwood community as he does about us sat here within these walls. So we're going to break out. And as many of you know, we've also had 2 prayer meetings last year in Blackburn. And we're going to continue that. And throughout 2014, we're simply going to start a monthly prayer meeting in Blackburn. Just to begin to see who prays, begin to see who gathers, because we do believe God has called us to break out beyond our walls. Scary, adventurous, 1 foot at a time, forwards. God has called us into this world. He said, when I fill you with my Holy Spirit, you're going to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. Now, for me, Blackburn, Samaria, because it's too near Yorkshire for my liking. Forgive me, Trevor. You get me afterwards. Okay, right, yeah. You're supposed to forgive me now. No, just kidding. Blackburn may be our Samaria, and we're still asking. But the best way of asking is, Lord, send out workers into the harvest field. The first thing Jesus said was, pray before you go. And so in Blackburn, we're praying and asking before we go. So those are 3 things. There may be lots of other things. As a church, most of us are already involved in stuff and serving God in different ways. But those are 3 ways in which we're going to step forwards into this breakout vision. And what I would love you to do, I've already said it, come tonight because it's the next stage of that. come and hear what we believe God is saying to us. But above everything, get praying. Get in a place where you're saying, God, will you put that kind of compassion in me? Give me a heart for people around me. A heart for my neighbours, a heart for my friends, a heart for my colleague at work. Give me a heart that moves me out beyond myself to build relationships, to build friendships that may be challenging, that may take up my time. But above all, give me a heart of love that isn't just going to pray. It is going to go. It isn't just going to ask. It is going to share. Let's pray together. Just know this morning, God's heart is towards you. His love, his compassion. Whatever you're going through, however tough life is, however flayed and fallen you may feel that you are, God's love's towards you. So much that he sent his son for you. Let's receive that this morning. In a few moments, we're going to share communion together. We're going to take bread, which is a picture of his body broken for you on the cross. We're going to drink wine, which is a picture of a symbol of his blood poured out for you on the cross. His body broken so you could be healed, made whole. His blood poured out so you could be cleaned and forgiven and welcomed by a loving Father God. What a great way to start a brand new year and to step into a new, deeper relationship with a God who gave himself for you on the cross. Know that his love is for you. Also know this, that his call is to go, to pray and to go. And right at the beginning of a brand new year, together, as later on in the service, we'll pray a prayer of commitment. It's kind of become our covenant at the beginning of a new year. Let's stand together and pray that and work and walk together as one in Christ Jesus. Holy Spirit, write these things in us, but set them on fire so they live out through us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.